This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and this show is called The People Behind the PhDs. This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and welcome to the three-part interview with Dr. Steve Prismas, who studies translanguaging and bilingual education at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, near Dallas. Let's get to the show, The People Behind the PhDs. Hello, hello. This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, with the People Behind the PhDs program, and I have a very, very special guest today, Dr. Steve Prismas. Dr. Steve Prismas, or you might know him as Steve, he's a professor at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, which is right next to Dallas, if you're not familiar with that area. He has 11 publications in a very short career so far. Certainly it's going to be a very long, distinguished career as a professor, but 11 publications so far. And if anyone knows anything about academia in a short amount of time, that's a lot. He speaks rip-roaring Spanish, habla muy bien los dos, which is really incredible, and he is originally from South Dakota. So how does a dude from South Dakota become this incredible professor in Texas? I don't know, but we're all gonna find out together. And maybe the academic thing that put him on the map is something called the subliminal influence of street signs, and the title goes from there, but I'll just say that for now, because if anyone who doesn't know academia is tuning in, the subliminal influence of street signs. Think about your own neighborhood and the street signs, and what kind of messages they can be sending you. And so maybe Steve will talk about that with us. The most frequently used words in his publications are language, not a surprise, English, students, Mexico, and messages. So with that, welcome Steve to the People Behind the PhDs program. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Zach.
You're very welcome. So Steve, right away, I like to start the program by asking people, what about you? So where are you from? You know, all the sort of non-academic things you want to share. So where were you born and raised? And kind of tell us about you through maybe your high school years, and we'll go from there.
Sure, sure. I grew up in a very, very small town in South Dakota, 350 people in the town, a farming community, although I did not grow up on a farm, which was always interesting because I was, if you can believe, I was positioned as a city kid, and I was from 350 people, the size of my town. In South Dakota, it was very homogenous, very white. No one spoke Spanish. No one looked that different from me or my family or friends or neighbors. I liked Spanish as a subject in high school, although I love to tell the story that whenever we asked my Spanish teacher to speak Spanish to us, she would say, "No, it makes my mouth water."
Speak Spanish.
So I never heard Spanish.
Okay, wait, so just back up. So during your high school Spanish experience, you're in the class to learn Spanish, and your Spanish instructor said what?
We would ask her to speak Spanish. We wanted to hear Spanish. And she would say, "No, it makes my mouth water and drool, and therefore I'm not going to do it."
I know. Speak Espanol.
Looking back on it, I count it as one of the most creative excuses for I just don't feel comfortable talking in front of you all, which is really, really interesting, you know. We'll jump to my academics or, you know, my research interests in a bit, but I research identity primarily, and that would have told me a lot about her identity in that context.
Wow. So what were you? Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I said I think that I saw Spanish as a way to make me unique in a small community like that. So I went to college and studied Spanish, double major Spanish education. And I know I'm fast forwarding quite a bit here, but still after 4 years of studying at the University of South Dakota, I really, I had the same level of competence as my high school Spanish teacher. I knew grammar really, really well, but really wasn't able to confidently speak with anyone.
Wow. So you kind of touched on something I was going to ask. You said that you took Spanish originally partly to develop an identity in this place where you were living in order to be a little bit different. Were there any other moments when you were, you know, before high school where you thought, I wanted to learn something about the world beyond where you're living? Because like you said, it was a very homogenous place. Why Spanish? Why another language in this world? Was there a trigger? Was there a television program? Like what triggers can you remember about your early life?
I think I wanted anything to kind of, I don't know if this probably isn't that uncommon, but I wanted to leave. I wanted to get out of there. And I was one of those young boys that would walk the streets at night. You know, there's no street signs or anything in this town, so you can just kind of walk all over or spend, you know, and just dream.
This People Behind the PhDs episode is sponsored by Harp Concepts. Are you an up-and-coming artist with a bright idea? Are you a startup company who needs to prove your concept? Or are you a person who likes to personalize special gifts? Harp Concepts makes high-quality 3D models for a fraction of the price of big-name companies. Learn more at harpconcepts.com. That's harpconcepts.com.
Yeah, I just wanted to do bigger things and see different parts of the world and meet different people, and language, I think, reflecting upon it now, was something that I saw from very early on as a way to do that for me.
Okay.
I don't know about any television show or anything. I'd have to think back on it more, but I've always just been a dreamer.
Oh, okay. That's a great answer. Thanks. So you finished college and you studied Spanish. This is your undergraduate you're talking about, right?
That's right.
South Dakota, where did you do your undergraduate?
Yeah, the University of South Dakota is in Vermilion, South Dakota, and I graduated as a Spanish teacher.
Okay, excellent. So what about after your college life? What were you doing then?
Well, I was a first-year teacher in Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is right across the Missouri River from Omaha, Nebraska. So together, you don't really notice the difference that you're crossing a state or anything. It's kind of just one big metropolitan area. And I was there for 7 or 8 years as a junior high school or a junior high Spanish teacher. The biggest, and I loved it. I loved junior high. I loved being kind of a quirky, silly, crazy teacher. I played guitar almost every day for my students and taught Spanish through music. But one of the biggest things that changed the trajectory of my life is I started teaching at night at a community college, and I was teaching English to adults who primarily spoke Spanish as a first language. It just taught me a lot about how languages are developed, again, identity and making relationships, and it also opened up a window for me to a world of other people's lives.
Well, so did you initially teach this evening class for just extra money? Was that your motivation?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just find it fascinating. There's these very instrumental motivations we have, and then they lead us to these intrinsic motivations sometimes. So you were teaching for 7 years. So what about at the end of that 7 years? What happened at that point?
So my part at the end of those 7 years, or probably around year six, finished her master's at the University of Nebraska in speech-language pathology. And during her final year of her master's, she said, you know, I've always wanted to do the Peace Corps. I started an application when I was an undergraduate and never did it. It wasn't the right time. She said, what do you think? You want to do it? And I said, yeah. Absolutely. So we filled out an application together, which takes about 9 months to go through the whole selection process for the Peace Corps.
So is that filling out documents for 9 months? I mean, what does that mean? That's a lot of work.
Yeah. So you fill out about a 30-page application that asks you to document everything you've done in your life. So as far back as being a 12-year-old in a farming community, picking rock out of cornfields and bean fields to sheetrock rocking for somebody to hail, you know, baling hail or hail, working in the hay fields, doing whatever. And then after you submit that application, you wait, you know, about 3 months later, you hear back from the government and they say, you know, we're interested in you. Now you need to fill out this second application about your medical history and your background check, you know, like a legal background check. And then that takes a little while because you have to do all these appointments. You send that in and then you get an interview. I remember I had to drive to Denver, Colorado. My partner and I drove to Denver, Colorado and interviewed at the Peace Corps office there. And then a couple weeks later, maybe a month or two later, we got accepted to a region of the world and a career. So we initially were going to go to Russia to be teacher trainers, and that's all we knew. And about, I think we started our application in September, and it was the following August. We were getting ready to go to Russia, had quit my job. We'd sold our cars. We were just living at my in-laws' house. And that was the build-up, the lead-up to the Iraq War. And if you recall, we had a political fallout with Russia. And so this would have been the summer 2002. And Russia kicked Peace Corps out.
Thanks for listening to part one of the interview with Dr. Steve Prismas, who studies translanguaging and bilingual education. To continue listening to Dr. Steve Prismas, download parts 2 and 3 at drz.net/download. That's dr-z.net/download. You can also follow me on Facebook at Dr. Z Podcasts. That's DRZ Podcasts. And Instagram at drznet. As always, happy deciding. People Behind the PhDs is conceived, written, produced, and edited by Dr. Z, that's me, Zachary Brooks, PhD, in Dr. Z Productions and Podcasts. Learn more at drz.net/about. That's dr-z.net/about.